Blog Talk Radio.
Gotta keep reading, 'cause this book's gonna be a good book. 'Cause this book's gonna be a good book. 'Cause this book's gonna be a good, good book to read. 'Cause this book's gonna be a good book. 'Cause this book's gonna be a good book. 'Cause this book's gonna be a good, good book to read.
Pick up that book and turn the page. You'll never know just what you'll find.
Hi everyone, you just heard Gotta Keep Reading by the Ocoee Middle School, Ocoee, Florida. Welcome to It's Storytime on the World of Ink Network at Blog Talk Radio with me, author J.D. Holliday. It's Saturday, 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time on January 5th, 2013. It's Storytime can be listened to live at blogtalkradio.com/worldofinknetwork, or you can listen to it on demand at any time you like at the same address or on iTunes by researching World of Ink Network. This week's story is James Saves the Moon by Wendy Nystrom. James Saves the Moon is about a 7-year-old boy from America named James who moved to the far away island nation of Iceland, where the clouds appear to touch the mountains. James is always thinking in between his constant talking. If he thinks something can be done, then there is a way that it can be done. And James loves adventure, which leads to James saving the moon. You will need to know that a fjord is a long bay or narrow arm of the sea bordered by steep cliffs. James Saves the Moon by Wendy Nystrom. Chapter 1. Here within lies a tale of a young boy named James. This tale takes place in a faraway island nation of Iceland. Late one evening, James is standing facing the wall of windows overlooking the balcony, and he sees the brightest, biggest moon he has ever seen. This also happens to be the first time James notices the moon since moving to Akureyri, as the moon is not out every night like it is in the United States. The windows are filled with the bright moon. The rings glow a ghostly bright turquoise color as the light reflects off the mountain snow, instead of the usual harsh ridge of mountains mixed with the snow as the sky darkens early on this fall day. James opens the doors and reaches out to touch the moon. He suddenly has a feeling of danger. He must travel up the mountain and touch the moon tonight. James looks at his mom. "Look, the moon is touching the mountain," says James. "Wow, it looks like it," replies his mom. "I bet you can climb to the top of the mountain and touch the moon," says James. Smiling, his mom says, "It looks like you can, but the moon is a long way out in space." James is not happy with this answer at all. He knows he can go up there and touch it. James decides right then and there that he is going to the top of the mountain. He will touch the moon. Chapter 2. The adventure begins. James's family lives in a flat on the second floor. James enters his room and looks out the window. The moon takes up the whole window. James unlatches the latch on the window and opens up both sides of the window. James feels a cool breeze on his face and leans out. He sees his neighbor, Gummendur, looking towards the moon with a look of concern. James looks down. Below the window is a rope ladder for emergencies. James takes out his backpack and gets his things together. He puts a flashlight, coat, gloves, and rope for climbing in the backpack. What will I need for this adventure? James thinks to himself. Oh, I'll need a snack. He takes out a box from under his bed and selects a chocolate bar and a bag of dry fish. Here in Iceland, dry fish is similar to beef jerky. James slowly lifts the rope ladder up to the window, and as quickly as he can, he drops it down the window. It plops down and slaps against the cement wall of the apartment building. The noise is so loud, he wonders if the whole building heard the noise. James waits to see if his parents heard. James only hears the TV, so he begins to climb down. He looks up and over at the window next to his, which is Gummendor's window. He is a nice older man who lives in the building next door. Gummendor smiles and waves. James smiles in return and continues climbing down the ladder. He jumps the final few steps to the ground. James is on his way. He walks up the main street that leads to the bridge, which crosses the fjord. Once across the fjord, he will find the road that will get him to the top of the mountain. He remembers the road because he and his dad drove up it a couple of weeks ago to pick berries. After crossing the fjord, James turns left. He begins the trek up the mountain, keeping to the side of the road as it winds its way up the mountain. James is always keeping an eye on his mission to touch the moon. He now realizes that he does not need the flashlight, as the moon is so bright it provides enough light for the track. James remembers to look down and around once in a while as to not disturb rock piles that are all around Akureyri. He remembers the stories about the little hidden people, Icelandic fairies who live under rocks in cliffs and hills. They are mostly invisible, but they do appear to some people, presumably from another dimension. The fairies like to play magical tricks and pranks. Some are evil, some are good. James knows that this is just old folklore, and he does not believe in that. It's probably just to teach us kids to watch where we are going so we don't fall and hurt ourselves, James surmises. While he is thinking about the stories he has heard, he starts walking towards a big pile of rocks. Instead of walking around the pile, he begins to walk up and over. James stumbles on the top of the rock pile. He falls and rolls down the other side. A rock hits James. James looks at the rock, the big rock, and thinks to himself, I must have knocked it loose when I tripped. He feels a funny whoosh of wind as he brushes dirt off his pants, thinking how dumb he is not to watch where he is going. He looks up and sees bright, glittering light coming from the top of the rock pile. James hears a deep, spooky voice say, Who has disturbed my home? Chapter 3, James Meets Sivok. James looks to his right, then to his left, but he does not see anyone. As the glittering bright light flitters away, James slowly turns around and faces the rock pile. He looks down, and next to the pile there is a little person with his hands on his hips looking at him. This little person is a little over 2 feet tall, has blonde hair, blue eyes, and pointy ears. He also has a funny-looking green Robin Hood cap with his ear flaps folded up on his head. There is a bright glow all around the little person. Who are you? Asked James. Who are you? Replied the little person. I am James, and I tripped on those rocks, answers James. Those rocks were my home, said the little person. James, while trying to be brave, says, What of it? It was an accident. The little person laughed and responds, You are a brave one. My name is Sivok. You are not Icelandic. Where are you from? England? I am not English. People in England speak different than I do. I was born in America, James replies. Quite a long journey for you, says Sivok. James shrugs his shoulders and leans down to pick up the rock. He plans to put it back on the pile where a light, which looks like a flashlight, is shining. Stop, yells Sivok. James drops the rock in shock and asks why. This is a travel tunnel, and if it's covered back up, I won't be able to see the light. Then I will not be able to find my way back to my home. So tell me about your home. I have never been there, said Sivok. James shrugs. Okay, I will tell you about it if you tell me who and what you are. But it will have to wait, for I am on a mission and I am running out of time, says James. Chapter 4, Together on the Adventure. What kind of mission are you on? Asks Cyvoke. See the moon up there? James replies. Yes, said Cyvoke. Well, I am going to climb to the top of the mountain and reach out and touch the moon, exclaims James. You are? Why, that is an important mission. May I come along and help? Asks Cyvoke. James looks down at the little man, thinking about how he could help out on the mission. How in the world could you be of any help? Asks James. Cyvoke laughs and says, have you not heard of the little people of Iceland? Yes, I have. Just silly stories, says James. No, they are not just stories. I can perform magic. It is not the size of a person. It is how you use your head, remarks Cyvoke with a frown as he points to his head. James, still skeptical, besides it would be nice to have some companion, some company on the mission, and thus replies, all right, you can come along on the mission. So off they go. They head up the road, both of them with a determined look on their face while they gaze up at the moon. Chapter 5, The Partnership. James and Cyvoke begin their climb up the side of the narrow mountain road, keeping their eyes on the goal, the moon. After about an hour, Cyvoke stopped and looked at James with a sly look. How long do you think it will take to get to the moon? Asked Cyvoke. James looks at him with a confused look. I don't know, but I have to get to it soon. Keep moving, says James. It will be daybreak before we get even halfway up. This road twists and turns up around the mountain, says Cyvoke. How would you know? You've been living under a rock pile for years, replies James. With a wave of Cyvoke's hand, James falls to the ground. You think you know it all, remarks Cyvoke. James sits up, looks at him in the eyes, and smiles. You are magic, he exclaims. Again, Cyvoke waves his hand, and pebbles and dirt swirl in the air. I like you. I like how you were determined to touch the moon. And I see that it is important to you, but there is no reason to be rude. I may be able to help us get to the moon sooner. Are you interested in listening? Cyvoke asks. James looks at Cyvoke. He is thinking. Cyvoke watches him, amused, and he grins. Suddenly it dawns on James that Cyvoke may be able to help out by using his magic. James wonders if he can trust him. He remembers that sometimes the little people like to play tricks. James decides that he will take a chance. I am sorry, I will listen, James says, while looking at the ground and pushing dirt back and forth with his foot. Cyvoke walked over to James, looks up, smiles, and says, I like you, kid. I think we are going to have some fun and become friends. James breathes out with relief and laughs. I think you're right. I've got a good feeling about our partnership, James says. Chapter 6, The Plan. Cyvoke explains to James that he will get them up to the top of the mountain much faster. I must be careful when using the magic, remarks Cyvoke. James asks, why can't you use magic anytime you want? When you use magic, you are pulling from natural energies, and if you are not careful, you will disturb or alter nature. Thus, all of us who use magic agreed a long time ago to try to limit the use of magic. Plus, it's very tiring performing magic, and I need to rest afterwards, says Cyvoke. Oh, I guess we better make a plan since magic is serious business, says James. Very good, James. You're learning and listening. Our goal is to touch the moon, says Cyvoke. Correct. So we have to get to the top of the mountain soon, says James. I have a way to get us to the top of the mountain with a smidgen of magic, remarks Cyvoke. Awesome. Let's go. Are you going to throw some more of your dust or snap your fingers or something? Asks James. I have a special friend who can help us. He is coming now, says Cyvoke. Chapter 7, The Dragon. James looks at Cyvoke and sees that he is concentrating. He hears something, like the fluttering of a flock of birds taking flight. He feels a light breeze hit the back of his neck and his hair is ruffled. Cyvoke is looking behind him and is smiling. James turns around, wondering what Cyvoke is looking at. James thinks it is just the wind, but it is not the wind at all. James cannot believe his eyes. It is a dragon, a big, beautiful, shimmering blue dragon. The dragon has a glow around him, just like Psyvoke. It must be magic, James thinks. The dragon touches James' shoulder and says, hello. The dragon then looks at Psyvoke and says, hello, old friend. What do we have here? James still cannot believe his eyes. He just stands there with his mouth open. Psyvoke smiles and says, hello, Matthias. This is James. James, this is my friend Matthias. He has come to take us to the top of the mountain. You are fantastic, and you can talk, James finally says. I know, Matthias, the dragon says with a grin. We can get to know each other better some other time. We need to go, says Psyvoke. Matthias turns sideways and says, I figure you did not call just to chat. Where are we going? We are going to the top of the mountain up there, Psyvoke says while pointing up. What is up there? Asks Matthias. We are on a mission. I want to touch the moon, James says. You can't touch, Matthias starts to say, but Psyvoke puts his finger to his lips to hush the dragon. Let's get up to the top and see what happens now, remarks Psyvoke. Chapter 8, The Ride. Climb aboard, says Matthias. Psyvoke climbs up on the dragon's back. James climbs up and stands in front of Psyvoke. Hold on to the handle, says Psyvoke. James grabs the handles in front of him. This is going to be the best ride ever, James shouts. Matthias jumps and starts flapping his wings. They are flying on a dragon's back. We will stop here, and if you want to find out more about James and his adventure, James Saves the Moon Kindle edition is free to Amazon Prime users. The book edition for James Saves the Moon is on Amazon and Barnes & Noble. Wendy Nystrom's books include Helga Returns and Tomfoolery and 13 Yule Lads. Her site is wendysbookcase.com. I want to thank Wendy Nystrom for letting me read James Saves the Moon today. Our time is just about up. I'm J.D. Holliday, and you can find me in my books at thebookgarden.net. The show site is itsstorytimeforkids.blogspot.com. And if you have any questions or comments, you can email the show at itsstorytimeforkids.gmail.com. You can hear all the World of Ink shows at blogtalkradio.com/worldofinknetwork. Upcoming shows include on January 8th, 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, A Good Story is a Good Story with author Marcia Casper Cook with a discussion with Sue Ayers on blogging. On January 10th, 4 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, book discussion with host, author, and book reviewer Fran Lewis with guest Cheryl Bradshaw and Lisa Bennett. Also watch for our other shows, The Writing Mama Show with award-winning author and editor V.S. Grenier, What is Success, and The Families Matter Show. Thank you for listening. Next week, January 12th, author Marcia Diane Arnold will be here to read The Roar of a Snore, and Emelina Hewitt will be back with a review on Emelina's book picks. Bye now.